Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks. Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome. Yes, we are the AmeriChicks. I am Kim Munson.
And I'm Molly Vogt.
And welcome. We hope you are having a wonderful Wednesday. I can't believe it's already Wednesday, Molly. The days just peel off the calendar.
It sure is. And I hope if you were going to go play golf out there, you find something fun to do, because it looks like the rain's coming. Sorry.
It does look like it. And it's cooler today. It's nice to have a little respite from summer.
Hey, we could use a little rain with that fire going. You know, with all the fires that are taking place, we need a little rain.
Yep. Yep, so that's great. So we're not complaining about the rain.
We need a good bath.
Yeah.
Keep it coming.
Yeah. We have an amazing show today. We're going to start off on some current events. One that we missed yesterday, we were going to talk about it yesterday, and then we were it was just such a great show. We thought we'd roll it over to today. And then second segment, we're going to have Helen Kriebel on with us, and she is the founder of Lens of Liberty. And I'm just really excited. I can't wait to talk with her about that. And then also we've got Marcus Fotinos in studio with us, and he is a CU student, and he's really standing up for freedom and liberty. So welcome. It's glad to have you in here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. And then the last segment, we're going to have Victor Mitchell in studio. He is running for governor, and we're going to talk about the other issue that we didn't get to talk about yesterday. And he was fast on it to let us know that there was some challenges there. So anyway.
Right. What we're talking about is Governor Hickenlooper came out and he signed an executive order that now is going to try to get us to join onto this U.S. Climate Alliance, even though we got out of the Paris Climate Accord.
Right.
He wants us to join the Climate Alliance. And we're going to talk to him about why he thinks that's a bad idea and what effect that would have on we the people and our wallets here in Colorado.
Right. And speaking of bad ideas, we're going to jump right into
Speaking of bad ideas, here's one.
And
I'm glad it's coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, it seems like the two H's, Hickenlooper and Hancock, both have really bad ideas for regular everyday people that just want to live their lives and take care of their families. I am just shocked that they have gone around elected leaders, that they've come out with basically executive orders. And really gone, I think, against the will of the people, because there is a specific political agenda. And Mayor Hancock says he's going to ask more Denver commuters to ditch their cars as part of a $2 billion mobility action plan. Where is he going to come up with $2 billion, first of all? And really, is that what we elect people to do, is to get us out of our cars? I mean, Molly, it doesn't work for us to really go after our hopes and dreams, to have our own little businesses, to take our kids to school, to take our kids to soccer practice, piano practice. I'm just really, really frustrated with this.
Well, I agree. You know, and Mayor Hancock and Governor Hickenlooper have been talking about this as well. Hickenlooper is talking also, saying we need to get more electric cars on the road. And what they're going to do is they're going to put charging stations all up and down all the interstates.
Mm-hmm.
You and me and you and
Marcus,
everybody else.
Marcus, your generation's really going to pay for this.
Yeah.
And they're going to pay for a lot.
Right. And the problem, I mean, well, several problems, but one is, you know, people that have electric cars have already stopped, a lot of people have stopped buying new cars. And we just saw that from Tesla in Hong Kong, I believe, because the tax subsidies were going away. And people said, if I don't get that subsidy, I'm not going to buy it. So how are we going to force people to buy one if they don't want one?
Right.
Yeah, there should be choice. Absolutely. We love options, but we don't want to force anybody. And then you're right. How are they going to get more charging stations on the interstate? How long is that going to take? What kind of backup is that going to cause for more traffic for us? And why do you want more cars on the road? We don't need more cars on the road. They say they want to get us out, but they want more electric cars. What about the rest of our cars? Do we have to get rid of those, or are these just extras? And then we have the new autonomous cars that are coming that we're not allowed to drive ourselves because they believe that we are too dangerous to drive. So we need a robot or a computer to do it. And so I just don't see that any of these government solutions are going to make traffic or roads any better in Colorado. And I don't see them making it any cheaper on my wallet.
Well, you're absolutely right, Molly. But I wanted to just very quickly go through some of the points on this Denver Post article. It was a couple of days ago, July 10th, by John Murray. And it's so interesting to me when those far left progressive, you know, agenda, when they talk about it, they use all the freedom words. And I think that we everyday people need to wise up. So Denver Mayor Mayor Michael Hancock on Monday announced a $2 billion, okay, who's going to pay for that? A mobility action plan that over the next dozen years would set out to unclog city streets. Wait a minute. They have been clogging city streets by taking lanes of traffic and making bike lanes. So they say they want to unclog, but they're really doing public policy that, that clogs the streets. Yep. Eliminate traffic-related deaths. Really? You know, I mean, they just throw that in for safety. I've heard that across the all these different events over the last few years. They say we want to save lives.
Yeah, because we, the people, can't drive ourselves because we're too stupid. We've heard that.
Yeah, well, okay. And then lastly, they want to get more people out of their cars.
Right.
You know, one of the
And that was coming all this year over and over and over again.
And Molly, I really look at this. This is anti-family. It's anti-freedom and it's anti-prosperity, you know. So I just, I'm really, really frustrated with that. So the another thing that he said is this is what they want to do. They want to reduce the share of resident commuters who drive to work alone from 73%, which was in the 2015 census data, to 50%. And they think that that could be achieved in part by boosting the combined commuting share of transit riders, bicyclists, and walkers from 13% to 30%. How are you going to stop off with your bicycle and get your cleaning, your 20-pound bag of dog food, pick up your kids from soccer practice or piano lessons, all on a bike or in a train, or if you're sharing a car with somebody else?
No, you can't do it, and you can't take your dogs with you either, or your friends and your family. And that's just not good. That's social engineering. The government's job is not to socially engineer. The government, we gave them very, very distinct laws, rules, job descriptions, if you will. And that's what we pay them for, and that's what they need to stick to. They don't need to be taking our choice away and trying to get us in or out of cars or in and out of bike lanes. They need to do their job, which is very limited, which is protect our rights. That's it. Get out of the way. I'm kind of glad that he's doing it as an executive order, and I'm glad that Mayor Hancock's backing him, because that shows we the people, when they start to run for another office, what they really have in mind and what they'll do if we give them a power again. So we're shining the light on truth. Stick with us.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment, and closing fees are limited. Active duty or retired military, reserves, and surviving spouses may qualify. Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook have spent decades finding the correct loan to suit your unique financial situation. Give Home Mortgage Alliance a call at 303-888-2732. That's 303-888-2732. Or check them out on our AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com.
Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 113750.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks Molly and Kim personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks. I'm Molly Vogt.
I'm Kim Munson.
And we're glad to be with you here on KDMT. You know, we're the AmeriChicks because we are American-loving chicks. And we love this country for what it is, and we want to make sure it stays this way. We're divided today, but that's all right. You know, and the press and the media isn't always telling the truth. but it's done that before. We've been here before. It's time for solutions. It's time to go back to what our founding fathers did originally. And, you know, they were very united at the beginning, and that's what we have to get to again. They were united not because of their ethnicity. It wasn't the same. They were united because of a set of beliefs and ideas about freedom of speech, religion, assembly. And they believed in civil discourse. They believed they should persuade each other to vote their way based on using their ideas and their words, not by shutting people down or bullying them or telling them, if you don't believe as I do, you can't talk. And so it's time for us to go back there again and talk about what our founding fathers thought and how do we use their intelligence and their great ideas to do that again. We want to encourage people to join the conversation. If you have an idea or a solution, call us 303-632-4160. You know, we have somebody very special on the line that we want to bring on here. Helen Kriebel has been encouraging people to look at issues through the lens of liberty. She is explaining to everybody how our founding fathers did what they did. How did we create the best government that has kept us free longer than any other nation in the history of ever? They had something very special in mind, and we want to get back to that again. So Helen Kriebel, founder of Lens of Liberty, welcome to the Americhick Show.
Thank you so much for having me on, and you gals are so wonderful. You're right on target. I want you to know how much I appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate you, you know, and we all have something very similar in common here, and it takes all of us. And I think that we're all reaching out in our own individual ways to touch people and to get the message out. And so we're glad to be a part of this with you.
Yeah. Helen, it's Kim here. And I love one of the things that I heard you say, that liberty doesn't start in the White House. It starts in your house. And so you have developed this kit. It's called Lens of Liberty. And we have Marcus Fotinos in here with us, that he is the winner of one of the Vernon K. Kriebel Unsung Hero Awards. And we were just talking and taking a look at that. We think every elementary school child should go through this. I mean, this is really something that you have put together. So what was your vision on it?
Well, we call it the Lens of Liberty, and it's a citizenship initiative. And it goes back to the original meeting. What is it? What does it mean to be a citizen? And if you read the Declaration, it says that we have these rights, certain rights, that nobody can take away from us. And we have created as a people governments in order to protect those rights. But nothing government does is okay if it doesn't have the consent of the people. So our responsibility as citizens is to look at those principles and say, I am a responsible citizen. I am going to find out what is going on in my own community. It's my responsibility. And if it takes my freedom away or limits my opportunity, I need to stand up to my town government, my county government, even my state government, and say, no, you can't do that. Your job is to protect my rights. And so that's what our program is about, and that's what our Lens of Liberty kit helps people to do.
You know, Helen, I'm going to stop right here because I think our connection is not quite as great as I would like it, because you have so much to say. I want to make sure that everybody understands each word. So let's have Dawn give you a call back. So if you don't mind hanging up, we're going to have Dawn call you right back so that we can get just a little bit better connection, okay? Okay.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. Real quick, you know, before we get her back on, Helen Kriebel, she wrote an op-ed in the Washington Times in 2015 about the responsibilities of citizenship. And, you know, when she gets on, I want to ask her about this, but she says that the founders knew that individual citizens educated on the principles of self-government would always be the greatest watchdogs for freedom. And I agree. And I think that the challenge is, I don't think that our founding fathers ever thought we would not have these same united values in the future, that we wouldn't understand responsibilities. What do you think, Marcus?
Well, I think it comes down to just education. As we were talking earlier, we think that all the students and from elementary school up until even higher education should have these Lens of Liberty kits, just to really educate people, to make sure that they stay informed, stay vigilant, and then figure out ways to fight back. And these kits offer the information needed to to take on, whether it's City Hall or, in my case, campus administration, the Board of Regents, state legislature, or even the federal government.
All right. Now, you did a great job, Marcus Fotinos, my bad, sorry.
No worries.
In really working to support legislation to end free speech zones on college campuses, where did you come up with this courage to take on big government, even in the schools?
Well, for me, it started off when some students came to my office. Last year, I served as the student body president of external affairs at the University of Colorado Boulder, and some students came to me and were kind of telling me about the policies that our campus had in place that really constricted their freedom and their liberty when they were asked to not collect petition signatures on a certain area of campus, and they were escorted to our free speech zone, which the naming of it's kind of confusing.
Yes.
Because the free speech zone is the only place on campus where students were permitted to exercise their First Amendment rights, whereas the entire campus, in my opinion,
should be
the free speech zone. The First Amendment should apply to every square inch of the campus.
Absolutely.
Totally right.
Absolutely. We have Helen back on the line. So, hey, Helen.
Yes.
Okay. Hopefully that's a better connection, because we want every listener to hear every word you have to say. So we're with Helen Kriebel. She is the founder of Lens of Liberty, because she realizes that liberty doesn't begin in the White House. It begins in your house. And before we decided to get a new connection here, Helen, you were talking about how important it is for citizens to be engaged from basically the local level, county, state, and of course at the federal level. So you have founded Lens of Liberty, and so that's kind of where we are right now. So take it from there.
Well, you know, if you take a magnifying glass lens and you look at every regulation, every tax, every licensing issue that comes up in your community, and you say to yourself, does this make it better for me in terms of my freedom, or gives me more opportunity? And if it doesn't, then you have to have your voice be heard. And in your local community, you probably know everybody who's on the town council, or you easily could. And so you just say, hey, Joe, no, you can't do that. Stop this. And if there's no attention paid to you, then come with 20 of your friends. And pretty soon, the town will have to listen, or the county, or even the state. And that's what Marcus has done so very effectively. We are Joe Ordinaries, but our freedom and our opportunity is in our hands. So our kit, our freedom kit, has all these things in it to help you be a good citizen. And they include a declaration of independence that's been translated into everyday language from the rather archaic one, or things like a manual, citizenship manual, that tells you what citizenship means and how you can be a good citizen. We have a DVD on citizenship and all kinds of how-to things. How do you be effective in your town? So this kit is available on lensofliberty.org, and we hope everybody will call for it, or it's online, it's digital, and take a look at it, because this is the most important thing we as Americans can do. If we don't know what it is to be a citizen and we don't take responsibility for our own freedom and our own opportunity, we are truly going to lose it.
Helen, that's such an excellent point. It's not an excellent point. It's excellent that you made that point, I'll say. Molly and I were at a rally recently, and I talked to a guy, and he looked at me. He said, Kim, why do you guys do what you do? And I looked at him, and I'm like, that is a really, really good question. But I said, you know, I believe that we stand on the shoulders of giants, and that we have a responsibility to pass on something great to the next generation. And he made a very interesting point, Helen. He said that back in the founding, that, you know, Hamilton and Jefferson, they didn't agree, but they agreed on the goal. The goal was freedom. The goal was individual rights. So they agreed on the goal, and they had different ways they might want to get there. But now in America, we have two different views, two different goals. And I think that everyday people have taken it for granted that many of our elected leaders still adhere to that American idea. And my experience on city council is I realize that's not the case. And to your point, we have to pay attention.
Well, and primarily, even people on your town council don't know the principles on which the country is founded. And, you know, when the founders talked about public education, they said, if you have an ignorant population that doesn't know the founding principles, you're going to lose the republic. And so that's why we have to have government schools. We have to be sure that everybody in America knows what we're founded on, knows the principles of the Declaration and the Constitution, and is willing to take their part. And look what public schools are teaching now.
Right. Helen Kriebel, are you having any luck with schools, or can we get the lens of liberty into schools? Because I think that that's an excellent point. I feel like the education hasn't been teaching civics in the same way it was when I was younger. And it's unfortunate that we have a need for this now. Thank goodness, you know, you brought this out. But do you have any ins with schools with the lens of liberty?
There are some wonderful organizations that are working with teachers all over the country. And many of them are using our citizenship material. Homeschoolers are getting very interested in them. And then there's our Unsung Hero program, which says, look, if you actually do it, you stand up and do it, we will support you. And so we're so thrilled that Turning Point USA, which Marcos is a part of, is turning out people who are actually taking that responsibility. But Rotary Clubs can do it. All kinds of organizations and groups can refocus on citizenship and on people standing up and getting counted for.
I think we just lost her. So, Dawn, try that one again. And we're going to be going to break here in just a minute. Her point is well taken, though. We can go to different civic organizations, Molly, and encourage them to start to focus on this kind of civic leadership.
Yeah, we can. So, Marcus Fatinos.
Yep. Nailed it.
So you're CU Boulder. Do you have these kind of classes? Are your peers learning this kind of information on liberty in school?
I think the simple answer would probably be no. It is a little bit different once you get to the universities, though, because you kind of start taking classes in your major. So for me, I'm taking a lot of business courses, whereas another student might be taking political science classes where they're more exposed to this. But again, it kind of comes down to how the material is taught as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I had the benefit. I went to a public school, and I think it was really kind of a classical public school because I graduated, I'm not going to say when, but with an understanding, a real appreciation for the American idea. And when my kids went to university, they would come home, Marcus, and I kind of went through an angry period mm-hmm. because I couldn't believe some of the stuff that they were being taught. And I think they thought that I was angry with them. I wasn't. I was angry at the system and the people that were teaching them mistruths. So we're going to go to break. We have Helen back on the line. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about Lens of Liberty. We'll be right back.
Have a great night out and watch the best movies under the stars at the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Beginning Friday, June 30th, the triple feature at 88 Drive-In will include Despicable Me 3, The Mummy, and Wonder Woman. Admission is $8 per person and children under 12 are free. Stay for one or all three. And be sure to visit their delicious snack bar to help 88 Drive-In Theater continue to bring you the best in movie entertainment. Get their special pizza deal Monday through Thursday. Receive one 12-inch pizza and two 16-ounce sodas, all for only $11. Stay up to date on movie showings and times at 88drivein.net and be sure to tell them the Americhicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back with the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. You know, a house divided cannot stand, but we will not let this.
You sound like Abraham Lincoln.
We will not let this house fall. And, you know, it just takes a few very strong, hardworking people that believe in their heart and what's right and will stand up and do what's right. And we've got to make sure that we've got this country united again. And our founding fathers knew for us to be united, we needed to have shared values and principles. And in order to do that, we needed to share our ideas with our words. It wasn't a violent fight. It was a look at the Federalist Papers. Let's write essays. Let's make an intelligent argument. And let's tell people why is freedom the best for all of us. And so it's very interesting. We have Marcus Fotinos in studio, and he is a student at CU Boulder who did something very, very, very cool this year. Welcome, Marcus.
Thank you.
Thanks for what you did. So it looks like 1 in 6 universities have free speech zones around the United States. And if I'm right, a free speech zone means that's the only place you have free speech.
Correct. Universities across the country kind of set up these zones, which are usually small portions of campus, oftentimes less than 1% of what campus.
Like a broom closet or something?
Exactly, like a closet that's off on the side of campus where nobody's really walking.
You're free.
Yeah, you're free to speak whatever you want to say right there, but you take one step over there to be under the shade of that tree and you're in violation of the campus policy.
That is astonishing.
Right. Yep. And then I guess it's up to the administrator or the teacher who sees you if they're going to decide if you are violating the rules or not, if they're going to turn you in.
Yep, and so selective enforcement's another issue on college campuses because sometimes, for example, a left-leaning group can get away with speaking outside the free speech zone or collecting petition signatures beyond the free speech zone. But in times in the past, a conservative group tries to do the same thing just to mirror what the left group does, and they get in trouble. And it's really an issue when campuses start being the thought police.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think it's very important that young people and all of us are able to continue to speak and have open dialogue.
Absolutely.
We want to be critical thinkers. We need to be able to hear somebody else's argument, not just an echo chamber of what we believe. Sword sharpens sword. And so we need to be able to keep...
But what if you hurt my feelings?
What if 100 times? So you did something about it. Tell us what you did, Marcus.
Yeah, so this past year I served as the student body president of external affairs at CU Boulder. And then some of my constituents came in and said, hey, we just got in trouble for collecting petition signatures outside of this so-called free speech zone. So after that, I kind of got engaged and looked into what our campus policies said. And sure enough, the campus policies were restrictive of constitutional rights. So I passed a resolution through our student senate that called for the First Amendment. One line, it said the First Amendment should apply to every square inch of the University of Colorado at Boulder. That was it. And so after that, our campus administration, they got a copy of it and then kind of took the fight one step further. Last year at the Western Conservative Summit, I was talking with state lawmakers and kind of pitching this idea that we should pass state legislation that makes it illegal for all universities that are publicly funded from creating these so-called free speech zones.
Love it.
And there's been other states that have done this in the past, so there's already precedent. And after that, just kind of maintained talks with the state lawmakers. And sure enough, come the session this past year, legislation popped up and we were a part of it from beginning to end. We testified, we talked to lawmakers, we'd pull them out. I'd bring students down to the Capitol with me and we'd talk about firsthand our experiences of free speech zone and where our rights were kind of being limited. And our efforts worked. The bill passed both the House and Senate with overwhelming support and then signed by Governor Hickenlooper.
Marcus, that is just fantastic that you did that. You know, just one guy just kind of stepping up. I remember meeting you last year and you were just talking about doing this. I had no idea that you were going to take it all the way to the State House. That is so fantastic.
Yeah, and it certainly is a team effort, though. In the fight for liberty, nobody can really do it on their own. So I had a great team around me. I had support from some of the CU regents, as well as obviously state lawmakers. So together we were able to get this job done.
Did you have pushback? Did you have any pushback?
Yes, we did.
That is astounding to me.
It is.
From who?
The list is quite long. But we had pushback initially from our campus administration. They're always looking out for legal liabilities and hurt
feelings. They hide behind that,
and hurt feelings and... You know, the snowflakes might melt, apparently. Mm-hmm. But then also members of the State House, they initially had concerns with it. And as we were able to kind of talk to them further, they realized that, you know what, this is the First Amendment. These are college campuses, which, in my opinion, the vigilant protection of the First Amendment is nowhere more crucial than on college campuses.
Mm, totally
so
agree.
We can engage in the dialogue and really find answers to solutions and come up with what's best. And not to mention, the real world doesn't have these free speech zones or safe spaces.
Well, they're trying.
They're trying. Yeah. But with sheltering students, it doesn't do us any good.
You know, Marcus Fotinos, who you won this award. Let's talk about that first, because I want to make sure that we hit that. You got this Vernon Kriebel Unsung Hero Award at the Big Turning Point convention or dinner down in Dallas. Congratulations.
Yep. Thank
Turning
you.
Point is doing some amazing work. Mm-hmm. Now, are you part of that?
Kind of. I'm a part of our campus organization on on CU Boulder's campus, but then I also know Charlie Kirk as well as some other members of Turning Point.
Yeah. So this is a big deal that you got that award. Did you get any cash or anything?
There was an award. There was a $5,000 award. So that always helps for any student going through
you
college.
You bet. Congratulations. Yep.
Thank you.
That's
thank
really
you.
Fantastic.
And I just want to thank Turning Point USA and the Vernon K. Kriebel Foundation for the award. It was really a quite a surprise and a sweet treat for doing something that I was going to do in the first place. But it being a part of both Turning Point and now the Kriebel Foundation, I think it's going to allow us to do even more moving forward.
Well, that's great. And there's never a wrong time to do the right thing, right?
That's correct.
Hey, Marcus Fotinos, I wanted to talk a little bit about curriculum because I am a mom of three kids. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this during break that my youngest was going to CSU. And he was taking political science. And we were on our way up to a wedding in Canada. And he's in between, I think, his junior and senior, or no, his sophomore and junior year. And he starts talking about the value of a one world government with nine judges. Hmm. Well, I thought I was going to blow a gasket. You know, I'm like, how is it that I am working so hard to put you through school and you're being fed these crazy ideas? I think he thought I was frustrated with him. I wasn't. I was frustrated at the fact that we were paying somebody to do this, and then it was not. I mean, I said, didn't you think about what the founding fathers thought? You know, about a balance or a separation of powers, and you know, I just was just shocked. So, did you see any of that at CU?
Yes, I've seen it in multiple classes, and some, I'll admit, some professors are better at making sure both sides of the argument are at least mentioned. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times in my classes, I find myself kind of representing the side, the conservative viewpoint of the arguments. For example, in the business school, even for corporate social responsibility, I'm always trying to take the free market approach, whereas the professor, on the other hand, is trying to say, oh, regulations are going to be what makes sure that that nobody's taken advantage of, or that our nation's going to be led to prosperity if the government gets involved.
Okay, Molly, you go.
I have a question. So, yes. So I mean, a part of the thing is it was really important is you had to get students to help vote with you and to help push to get rid of these free speech zones. Mm-hmm. Did you find that free speech zones were put into place more because of the administration's push for them or because of students' push for them?
So the free speech zone was established well before I was on campus, and they've been established for about 10 to 15 years now across the country. But what I think is more important to focus on is the fact that students voted unanimously for the First Amendment to apply to every square inch of campus. So even if originally if students were the reason why free speech zones were implemented, the tide has shifted at that point because students see the value of being able to engage in dialogue, especially with this past election. Students want to be able to talk to one another.
So, like, somebody that doesn't agree with you on politics agreed that there should not be free speech zones. Give us one reason that they said they agree with you on that.
Well, I mean, we're sitting in a legislative council meeting, and even right there, we're using our First Amendment rights to have that discussion. He disagreed with me, and I disagreed with him, but we were able to talk civilly and come up with a solution to where we both agreed. And now we might not agree on something down the road, whether it's free markets or socialism, but on that topic of being able to have the conversation, we both agreed that we should be able to do that in order to discuss whatever else it is.
I think it's excellent. I think adults could learn a lot from you.
That's for sure. Let's go back to something that you said, though, regarding professors that were teaching social responsibility, and that, in fact, it was rules and regulations that would, quote unquote, even the playing field. Well, we've seen what's happened in Venezuela when the playing field has been equalized, and there is people don't have toothpaste, they don't have
toilet paper, medicine.
And did you see very many professors understand just this whole idea of a true free market, how it's really good for people?
I think the professors definitely see the value in it, but at the same time, they want to teach what they believe is the better version, and better is a term that it's kind of opinionated.
Sure, sure.
And I think the most disappointing part is these are liberal arts institutions, but it's not a true liberal education anymore because there's no more trust and faith that if we bring all ideas to the table, that at the end of the day, we'll be liberated from the ideas that are bad and be able to kind of rejoice in the ideas that are good and the ones that are going to propel this nation forward.
You know, I think that it's really been a position of the left to shut down voices. You're seeing it big time in America now, because if there is a free flow of ideas, I think that generally people go to the truth and they go to freedom and liberty.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of times when I'm talking with other students and they're pitching their idea, I'll just keep asking them why they believe what they believe. And when you get to the core of it, they have feelings, whereas on the right, we've got facts at the core of our argument. So I think that's a big difference that I've noticed.
Okay. Well, Marcus Fotinos, the winner of the Vernon Kriebel Unsung Hero Award, thank you for being with us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Marcus. Keep it up.
It's been a blast.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChick sent you.
Freedom begins in your house, not the White House. We Americans enjoy the privileges of a free society, and each of us has a duty and responsibility to keep America's unique ideals of freedom on course. How? Lens of Liberty can help. Lens of Liberty's Free Freedom Kit provides a complete guide to help you be informed, stay vigilant, and fight back for liberty. Order your Free Freedom Kit from lensofliberty.org now. That's lensofliberty.org, so you are armed with the tools necessary to stand for America's ideals.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. What a jam-packed show that we have had today. We had Helen Creeble on until we lost her. And then we had Marcus Fotinos on, who has won the Vernon Creeble Unsung Hero Award for getting legislation at the state legislature passed that would make every inch of publicly funded colleges and universities a free speech zone. Love it. So that was pretty
exciting.
Love it,
especially the fact that he's at CU Boulder, and he said every single student voted with him. That's awesome.
So that was...
Regardless of whether they believed or not in the same politics, they agreed everyone should have free speech, not only those who agree with us. That's America.
Yep, we love that. We love that. Now, Molly, we need to jump in on something else that we wanted to talk about. The two H's, Governor Hickenlooper and Mayor Hancock, have been busy just deciding to do whatever the heck they want to do regarding things that their policies that I really think hurt people. I think that they hurt everyday people that are, you know, raising their families, going to work. I think that it hurts our young people, and I think it hurts our seniors. But Victor Mitchell, who is running for governor, almost immediately after he saw that Governor Hickenlooper had signed on to the U.S. Climate Alliance, issued a press release. And so we said, you know what? We love the fact that you jumped on this, Victor. So tell us, why are you concerned about it?
Well, it's good. First of all, first, a pleasure to be on your show again. It's great to see you both. Everybody, every Coloradan should be concerned about this. I mean, when the Democrats get in power and they believe in a command and control government. They want to tell us what we should do and what we should not do. And this overreach, basically, in case your listeners are not aware, is the governor issued an executive order that among other things, Colorado by itself would adhere to the Paris climate conditions, arbitrary numbers of right. emissions reductions. So what does that mean for every Coloradan? It means that every Coloradan is going to have to pay a heck of a lot more for all their utilities. It makes Colorado far less competitive with all the other neighboring states. You know, my part of my platform is talking about a 64-county economic development strategy, and that includes many parts of rural Colorado, a lot of working people in Colorado. This would be very bad for any working person in Colorado, very bad for rural Colorado. We're going to try to compete with states like Texas and compete with states like Utah and Arizona. We want to bring high-tech manufacturing to Colorado to stimulate a lot of our rural counties, which are suffering today, and this would absolutely cripple them. I mean, it's very unfortunate that we the Democrats, they get in power and they just don't get it. I mean, they don't get it. People are hurting still. I mean, this is going to hit every Coloradan right in the pocketbook.
Yeah, I agree, Victor Mitchell. You know, we know that market forces have already been driving development for cleaner energy. We've already been doing that. And where it's best is we do that in the free market rather than government force. You know, Hickenlooper has said that wind and solar, they can carry us. We're improving all the time, but they get subsidies. Wind and solar can't sustain us on its own. So like you said, Victor, there's going to have to be government funds that help to sustain this and get us to these rules. And that means the money's coming out of our pockets. What doesn't he understand about that?
It's just, the left, if you've looked at some of the left, you know, take their leading candidate who's likely to get the nomination or certainly a front runner at this point. He wants to outlaw all oil and gas exploration in Colorado. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And we're going to drive a wind-powered moped to work each day. I mean, in January, we're all going to have to take bikes to work every day.
A little cold.
I mean, they're just out there. I mean, they're out there. They're not in touch with what's really going on. and they live in Boulder and they live in certain parts of Denver. And you know, we've traveled on our campaign, for example. We've been around the whole state. We've been in 43 counties already. We've spoken probably 175 times. I can tell you, many parts of Colorado are nothing like Denver, and economically, they're challenges. They have challenges ahead of them, and this kind of a mandate coming from the governor is just—it's just hugely disappointing.
And Victor, you probably couldn't have made it to all those counties if you were forced to ride a bike or walk, could you?
But maybe a wind-powered moped.
Maybe, you know? On a good day.
There he goes.
Yeah, there he goes again.
Interestingly enough, what Governor Hickenlooper said, he said that they're going to try to develop a system to track greenhouse gas emissions. Before I go any further, this whole thing ultimately will result in force. And it's not going to be choices for people, because the choice people want is they want their cars. You can see that when they're in traffic out there, is they still make that choice that they want to be in their cars. But he said mining communities that are affected by a shift away from coal production are going to receive increased support for training displaced workers and increasing broadband communications connections. Honestly, what kind of job does he think they're going to train them for?
He wants everybody to work out of their home and ride bikes and what have you. I mean, we should all be concerned about the environment. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the environment is, and we all agree we want clean air and clean water. But it should be an all-of-the-above approach. We need hydroelectricity. Where are they on hydroelectricity? Well, they don't like hydroelectricity because there's dams involved. Mm-hmm. We've hardly built any dams in this state.
That's why we have a water challenge.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. So it's really, they like, you know, it's not just the environmentally environmentally friendly energy policies. They want specific ones. They don't like hydroelectricity. They don't like nuclear. But they certainly love wind. They love other things, and make no mistake about it, they want to shut down our oil and gas industry. This would decimate many of our coal miners and miners across our state. You know, we mine in this state, we drill oil and we mine in this state, and make no mistake about it, this would devastate us, and it would have no impact on the environment whatsoever. That's the other thing too. Your listeners need to understand this mandate. It just makes Colorado not competitive. It's going to hurt working class people. Going to make us uncompetitive with other states, and it's not going to have any kind of a difference in affecting the environment.
Well, Victor Mitchell, one other point. When you talk about shutting down oil and gas and coal, both of those industries contribute significant tax revenues for our roads and for our schools and for, you know, the things that government does do. And so how do they think that they will be able to come in and backfill those tax revenues that are going to be lost? I mean, I don't think they really have an answer.
You can guess it. They're going to get you right in the wallet. They're going to raise your taxes. They're going to increase your regulations. They're going to charge you more user fees. They're going to say, you know, it's all in the spirit of helping our environment. Again, I mean, this is just left-wing stuff. I mean, I thought we were done with Obama. Now we have to deal with Hickenlooper, which is just another takeoff of Obama as well. I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, we have a very weak governor that's really not helping our state move forward at all. And this, make no mistake, that's very politically motivated. Mm-hmm.
And shouldn't this kind of decision come down to the people anyways? If we said we don't want any more oil and gas drilling in our state, shouldn't that be up to we the people? And we've actually already discussed this topic, and the people said we do want to continue exploring oil and gas in our state. We can't afford to do anything other than that. We'll do it the free market way. But how does this executive order stand? I mean, if you become governor, Victor Mitchell, you said day one you would turn this around. Could you quickly do that?
Immediately. It'll be the first thing to happen. You know, really what Hickenlooper is really trying to do is he's trying to turn Colorado into California. That's exactly what he's trying to do.
And California's not doing very well.
No, they're not.
Well, I think that's just a great opportunity for the next governor to really try to poach some of those high-quality, high-tech employers and try to have them relocate to areas of our state that are economically challenged. And there's a big opportunity, and this is not only going to hurt every Colorado, it's going to weaken us competitively, and it's going to hurt the places of our state that are the most economically challenged as we stand here today.
Mm-hmm. Victor Mitchell, I'm looking at the Denver Post article, and some of the quotes in here really raise my concern. The first thing it says that Governor Hickenlooper said is, the order is not a mandate. Whenever a politician has to tell you that something isn't something, it means that it is something. And then secondly, whenever I now hear the word collaborative, I realize that that's typically two politicians or bureaucrats that are trying to figure out a way to get into your pocket.
Which means force.
Definitely.
Yeah. Collaborative rather than choice.
You know what? Just a final thought on this, Victor Mitchell. Thank you for just, it was just last minute for you to come in and make comments on this. Last thoughts to our listeners.
Last thoughts. I mean, we've got to elect Republicans, bottom line. I mean, we've only elected, two Republicans in 62 years. Establishment candidates can't get it done. You look around the country, Republicans have been elected 1,000 seats over the last 8 years, yet in Colorado we've actually lost seats. We have to do things differently. We have to put forward big ideas, fresh ideas to move our state forward. This is not the way forward, whether it's dealing with transportation, higher ed, reforming our schools, and certainly regulations. I mean, this is exactly the wrong approach, and that's why we desperately need to have a Republican governor next year.
And your website?
My website is vic4gov, the number 4, vic, number 4, gov.com, and love to see some of your listeners at some of my events. We list our events every week. You can also go to Facebook /vic4gov. So thanks you guys so much for having me on the show. I mean, you guys are terrific. Love what you guys are doing. Couldn't be more supportive of all your efforts. And many congratulations with the success of your show.
Thank you. Thanks for all that you do. We appreciate it, Victor, especially putting your hat in and running for governor to look out for the people's needs. Now, Kim, if you didn't notice, I'm sitting here with paper and not a computer today. Why is that?
Why is that,
Sometimes
Molly?
Sometimes I have computer challenges. You're not the only one.
Okay.
And I don't have a neighbor like you who's willing to come over anytime and help me. So I'm looking forward to Evan, Your IT Guy, coming out this fall. It's an application, and you can get on 24/7. Doesn't matter what time of day. Doesn't matter what your challenge is, you get on that website and they tell them what your issue is, and they hook you up with the right kind of guy and they fix your problems. So that is awesome. And so check them out at evanyouritguy.com.
Right. In fact, I'm calling it evanmyitguy.com, but it is evanyouritguy.com. And we are really excited. They'll be launching this sometime in August, but go ahead and go onto their website and sign up. And, I mean, this is such a fabulous entrepreneurial idea. I'm just so excited about
it. Totally awesome. Who doesn't need a computer professional? They're also hiring. So if you're looking, get on the website, evanyouritguy.com.
And they're also looking for to hire vets, mm-hmm. which I love as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? We're going to jump in here. Today, the quote is going to be from the Constitution. It says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." Molly, I think that sometimes we kind of forget that. It was great to have Marcus Fotinos in studio to talk about what he did up at CU, and I think that he really based his vision on those words of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. From the preamble, that's my favorite. Also, check out lensofliberty.com as well. Helen Creeble is doing a great job in educating people about the United States of America, what made us so great to begin with, what are those principles, and every issue that you're challenged with, everything that you're talking with somebody about, you're debating about, look through that lens of liberty. If you know where your premise comes from, you're always going to win. So this is the AmeriChicks,
right.
Molly and Kim.
Well, tune in tomorrow. We're going to have Nigel Farage on, who's the author of Brexit.
Yes, he is, and he is a good one, so you won't want to miss it. 5 to 6 p.m., KDMT, Molly and Kim. High school can be-